Welcome to episode number 10 of the Marketing Development Podcast. Episode 10. How did we get here already? Today, we've got another blinder of an episode for you with Sophie Jane Mortimer. She's a Facebook expert, marketing consultant, and has been responsible for using Facebook to plant over a million trees for Tree Sisters. Sophie's a good family friend of ours, and she's in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you there. Welcome to episode number 10 of the Marketing Development Podcast. I can't quite believe that we're at 10 episodes already. And today I've got, well, really quite a special guest for me on, because she's not only somebody that's an expert in her field, but also is the godmother to both of our children and has been a family friend for, how long, Sophie? I can't honestly remember.
It's going on for beyond a decade, which is scary.
Well, it must be beyond a decade, because we've been married 13 years. I remembered, sweetheart. Don't worry. Yeah. We've been married 13 years, and so you've known us for most of that. So this is Sophie. I'm going to call you Sophie or Soph all the time, but you're on Facebook as Sophie Jane Mortimer. So I should really ask you how do you want to be?
Soph works for me.
Soph. Sophie. So Soph runs she now runs a marketing communications consultancy, but she has been responsible for a number of things in the past few years, including planting over a million trees with Tree Sisters and lots of different things. So Sophie, rather than me murder your introduction, how about you tell the nice ladies and gentlemen at home who you are and where you're from?
Well, that felt like Cilla Black then.
And tonight, Matthew, I am going to be... No.
Firstly, Pete, it's really, really great to be here with you, and I'm really grateful that you've invited me.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. I'll speak through the lens of Facebook, because I know that's the topic that we're going to touch on a lot today. Mm-hmm. It all began when I met Gabs, your wonderful wife. And I was working as a marketing communications assistant for a nonprofit. So I got a good grounding in what this marketing communications world is. And then I went and took that on an adventure, a bit of a global adventure, where I managed a yoga school, which was an interesting experience for me because I got to understand what marketing is like for live events, which is such a different thing to the work that we were doing in the nonprofit. And then I took another career change and went into filmmaking, independent filmmaking, where I again was able to see how the marketing communications knowledge that I'd developed was really transferable into film production, which is essentially raising money and growing an audience. So that was when I started to fall in love with Facebook. Because a lot of independent filmmakers, they pour their love and their heart and their soul into making brilliant documentaries, and then absolutely nobody sees them because they haven't spent any time thinking about developing an audience before these films get produced. So I thought, right, we need to build an audience now. And for a couple of projects we were doing, I was able to use sort of ninja marketing wisdom on Facebook to grow these audiences of over 20,000 people, which meant that when we launched the films, we were able to have hundreds of community screenings all over the world, all over the US and all over the world. And it was really pivotal for me, that point, because I realized that you don't need a lot of money to do really well on Facebook, as long as you know exactly who you're talking to and you speak with tons of passion and you add a lot of consistent value to their lives. So we didn't have any money, you see. You know, independent filmmakers, you don't have any money. It doesn't come along with that game. So I had to do it all organically. And that set me up really beautifully for when I got involved in Tree Sisters, which is a global women's movement, essentially, to build circles of women who then crowdfund tropical reforestation. And I was able to take what I'd learned about Facebook to help us grow our Tree Sisters audience, which is now at somewhere around 230,000, which amazes me because, right, wow, you know, back in the days of when it was 2, 3, 4, 5,000, you know, we thought would never grow. But it's amazing how things can really expand, especially when there's a very clear vision for what you're doing. And as I said before, you're adding a lot of value to people. So what I'm doing now is I've stepped back from Tree Sisters. I'm taking a bit of time out from the nonprofit world, which is amazingly exciting and full of passion, but frankly exhausting. And I'm taking what I've learned in all those different areas and supporting mostly people with small businesses or entrepreneurs, coaches, with their marketing strategies on Facebook and offering Facebook coaching programs.
That's great. So I don't really know where to start with all that, Sophie, because you've done so much in there, certainly in the last 10 years that we've known you. Let's start with kind of the present day then, and work backwards a little bit. So you've recently obviously undergone a change, a bit of a pivot. I did see your video actually on Facebook, your Leaving Tree Sisters video that you shared. Obviously, being a man, I'm not really qualified to be a tree sister, but I'm with you in heart, sister, all the way. But I saw your leaving video, and I know that was quite emotional for you, and it was, I think, in the Facebook Live that you did it. It sort of seemed, anyway, from somebody watching it from the outside, that it was, you'd obviously made a conscious decision what you were going to do, but it was kind of becoming real on the screen, which was it was quite an endearing thing to see. So how have you found, let's start with, how have you found that leap going from working with a team in Tree Sisters to literally now, I mean, you're a solopreneur on your own, really, aren't you?
Yeah, it is a big transition, and it's taken me, I mean, it's been 6 weeks now, has it? Yeah. Just 6 weeks. And it was really interesting at the beginning. I had all this anxiety because I was used to being on Skype meetings most of the day and being around loads of people and receiving loads of Skype messages and emails. Urgent, emergency, need to do this now. And now I'm like twiddling my thumbs at my desk going, da, 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 da. Okay, I organize my own schedule and I keep it really, really slow and steady because I find that I can work most creatively in that environment. So I did have a lot of anxiety at first going like, I think I should be doing something. And what I'm realizing now is it's such a gift to be able to set my own pace and follow my own flow of creativity. Like, when do I feel like sending an email out to my people? When do I feel like doing a video like you shared, the leaving video for Tree Sisters? Mm. And it's something that I recommend to everyone that I work with now is find ways that even if you are within a big organization, find ways that you can carve out time for yourself, at least an hour a day, where you can follow your own flow, you know, your own creative flow, where you want to go, because I think that's where the real effective work comes from. And I thank you for watching that video and for talking to it, because I feel really passionately about Facebook Lives and people using Facebook Lives to actually find their way to something on the screen, because like you said, that's when Facebook and social media get really engaging, when someone is actually telling a story and finding their way to their own truth or understanding or insight in that moment. Like, that's where it's so effective. So I really recommend to everyone I work with as well, like, make a little map for a Facebook Live and then go to a place where you feel really relaxed and let it flow and see what happens, see what wants to be said and what wants to come out in the moment. And that can usually be the most compelling way to connect with people.
I think there's one of the nice things about Facebook Live, and I have done some live Facebook before, but I don't think I've done any in the Marketing Development Podcast group yet. And I think we're going to have to change that probably sometime quite soon. We're into double figures of podcasts now, so we need to start upping our game a little bit. But the thing I like about Facebook Live, and it's the same with Vine on Twitter or Twitter Video or whatever it's called now, and with stories on Instagram and all that kind of stuff, is that because of the way those platforms are set up, it takes kind of the professional edge that you need off the communications that you're doing, off the message that you're giving. And we were talking about this a little bit just before we hit record. It takes away that professional edge, but it allows the story to speak through more clearly.
Yeah.
And I think you're dead right. That's the we need to try and roll that out into more of our marketing. Not that our story needs to feel staged, but that actually if our marketing becomes more genuine, then you connect with people on a better and a deeper level.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think even the word vulnerable is really relevant here. There's great research by the wonderful Brené Brown, who did a brilliant TED talk about vulnerability and the power of vulnerability. And then she received millions of people watched it, and half the people loved it and half the people hated it. So she really got to experience what vulnerability meant online. And she did a follow-up TED talk about that experience, and it's all fascinating to watch. But one thing that I've noticed in is relevant for the film and all the way through Tree Sisters is the more real and honest and vulnerable we were with our audience, the more they moved towards us. And I notice it in myself when I can tell the difference between someone who's marketing according to, you know, a book or the guidelines that they've learned, and then someone that's daring to maybe overstep the boundaries a little bit and be real, let some tears happen if they're real, rather than swallowing them down, or let some emotion come through, because that's when we can meet, you know, human to human, as is most fulfilling. And I often think of Facebook marketing really as like a Facebook page is like a person at a party. And if you were at a party, you'd get really bored if you were just sort of standing around and listening to someone who was talking the talk, you know, the right kind of talk. When it gets really interesting at a party is when someone's listening really deeply to you. And I think that's really important on a Facebook page, to make sure that you're asking questions and listening to your audience's responses, and then adapting what you're doing so that you're really in a conversation with them, but also talking really passionately about what you love and what you're about and the vision of your organization or of your business, the heart and soul of what you're doing. That's when more of the real connection can happen. And when there's connection, that's when engagement really happens. And when there's engagement, that's when organic growth can happen.
You know, when I was in the process of setting up this podcast, somebody recommended the audio service Anchor to me. So I installed it on my phone, and I went to a client meeting, and something just really hacked me off in this meeting. And to be honest, I can't quite remember what it was, but if I go and listen to the Anchor again, I'm sure the rage would come back quite quickly. but I did an Anchor recording about it. An Anchor was limited to 5 minutes, and it was literally just me talking into the headpiece on my iPhone. No big setup, no nothing. But actually, that one piece of content, if you look at it from a technically from an engagement point of view, that one piece of content got way more engagement than anything I created up to that point. And it was just about being you. It took 5 minutes in the car. It didn't require editing. It was literally you record it, you hit share, it went on a page. It was so easy, so real. I suppose that's the audio version of Facebook Live, really, I'm guess. But it was, you're right. It's, if you can strip away those layers and make it speak honestly, speak passionately, speak, what's the word I'm looking for? You just have that authenticity about what you're saying, making it real and of the moment and speaking to humans, then you're right. The engagement level just shoots up through the roof. And actually the engagement level at that point really becomes a secondary metric, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we all have enough stuff by this point. So I think that no matter what we're selling or marketing, or, you know, whether it's services or products, what people are hungry for is meaningful experiences. You know, you see that in all the presents that people buy now. It's like fast car racing or hot air balloon ride, or, you know, it's, we want to have the experience that we can remember and look back to and love. We want to have meaningful moments. not more tat, you know, not more stuff.
So if we can just talk about a little bit then, sort of tactically, about what you're doing. So you've mentioned that you're doing some consultancy work, and you've also mentioned that you're doing some Facebook training. So how, you know, what do you want to give us kind of some overarching themes that you cover in your training and the kind of things that you cover?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote this Facebook training walking through the woods over a week. I
wouldn't expect anything less.
I'm a tree sister, you know. So what I did was I spoke into my phone and I downloaded from my head all the things that I felt were most important for people using Facebook to create results, whether it's someone who's got their own business or, oh, that's, I'm not sure if you can hear it, but that's my doorbell going in the background, but we'll just let that keep going. yeah, whether it's people with their own businesses, whether it's people who are part of a team, it should be relevant, really. And it's, I wanted to capture everything that I'd learned so that I could offer it to people and that they could benefit from it. And there are four main places that I take people. And we start with laying the foundations, which is the same in any marketing world, really. You need to know exactly who you're talking to and what the journey is that you want to take them on. And it was amazing when I first offered this training, hearing how many people hadn't considered that on their Facebook pages. They just thought, oh, you know, I've just got a product, I want to talk about it. And it was revelatory when people started saying, wow, okay, well, my ideal audience is blah, blah, blah. And they'd be able to spell out, you know, map out who that person was, what they like, what they don't like, what organizations they're connected to, what they do with their spare time, how old they are, whether they have kids or not, you know. And then once people know who they're talking to and know the kind of journey they want to take them on, the kind of solutions they can bring for them or transformation that they can bring to them, then they're in a position to really add value to people's lives. And that's pretty much the core principle behind everything that I'm sharing on the Facebook coaching program. It's how can you add so much value to your target audience's life that when you do have an offer that you want to bring to them, it's really an effortless move for them to go, wow, you know, I've so benefited from this person that yes, of course I'll join that, of course I'll buy that product, of course I'll use their service. And so that's the first section. We go really in a deep dive into that, and then next we explore how to create a content calendar, essentially. So rather than people, you know, I see this so much on Facebook, people just putting out their products again and again and again, or their services. Mm. And instead, we map out essentially how you can make your Facebook page into your target audience's ideal magazine. So that as they're flicking through their timeline, that you come up and time and time again, you're offering articles, videos, inspiring little memes and images or Facebook lives that are completely relevant for what they need, what's going on in their life. And I usually recommend for people to do a mix of about a third of their own original content. And then we, you know, explore lots of different ways for people to create a wealth of original content in very easy ways. Because that's the cool thing about working for a nonprofit. You have to do everything really fast and really effectively. So
really cheap.
Really cheap, exactly. And then also how to collate content from really reputable sources. Which is where the magazine idea comes in. You know, you're sharing articles from other people who are mm-hmm. able to add value in that way. And then next we go into the whole authenticity vulnerability piece, actually, which you've spoken about really beautifully. How to be real and be yourself, even if you're part of a big organization or part of a team. How to bring forth the personality of that organization in a way that people can really, you know, they feel like they're having an intimate connection with someone rather than a big faceless organization. Or if you're a one-man band, or a one woman band, then how you can stay professional and true to who you are, but also reveal yourself so that people can have a human connection with you. And then we explore building community on Facebook, mainly through groups, but also ways of interacting with your audience on your page. Because one thing I've seen time and time again, whether it's around the films or the different nonprofits, or the clients that I work with, when they're able to build a community of powerful advocates like you're doing in the podcast group, then those advocates then serve as incredible mouthpieces out to the world about whatever you're doing. So again, another way to add real value to people's lives and then make it easy for people to come and work with you. And then, yeah, we do all of that as a group together so that we can learn and be inspired by each other and plant seeds of inspiration for each other and support each other through that process, because it can be a pretty lonely process running your own business or being the only marketing person in your organization, which I've been in that position a lot, and having to defend to everyone why marketing is important, which is so frustrating. it can be a bit of a lonely game, so it's good to get everyone together to feel supported in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, just in that last bit that you just said, that's exactly where this podcast and the community that goes with this podcast comes in. It's, you know, it's about marketeers and entrepreneurs. I suppose I'm separating marketers that work in organizations versus marketers that have taken the leap and are now solo consultants. But it's about those people pooling together, both in terms of the marketing sort of service side of things and the tactical stuff that goes along with it, but also about being just people together on a journey. I've run a couple of businesses, and the times that you end up sitting in a room on your own looking at a blank screen with a cursor flashing thinking, well, you know, how is this important to the world? Who is gonna, you know, how is this developing me or my life or something for the client or whatever it might be? But actually it's about then creating that connection amongst people so that you've got a place to turn where there's essentially you can have a bit of that water cooler chat that you're missing out on by not being in a bigger organization. That sounds like such a thorough kind of considered approach to it. That it sounds really good. How do you deliver that training, Sophie? Do you do it online, or do you do it in person, or either, or both? Or
I'm doing it online at the moment. And that's because a lot of the people that I work with are in the US, which is one of the great things about modern technology these days, that we can all be, you know, across the world learning from each other and with each other.
We're not really using technology to its biggest extent because Sophie is currently sat less than a mile away from my house. But we're doing this online so that the recording works. It can get from Netheredge to Millhouses. It can also get you across the pond to America. It's amazing, isn't it?
We could be using a tin can and string right now. Yeah. So it's online. I'm doing it over a few weeks. Mm-hmm. We just meet together online, and then there's a series of videos and a Facebook group, which is really where it happens. That's what I noticed in the first round, is where the real aha moments and insights happen is in that Facebook group, where people are supporting each other and asking great questions. And I think that's what I'm loving about this, is getting people together in a community, as you said, to do the water cooler chat. I love that.
Yeah, it's great. And I know that the thing with groups is that if you can start with a core group of people that are really up for engaging with what's in there, then actually the group can just sort of take off. If you start with a group of people that are slightly more quiet and withdrawn and maybe don't engage with some of the things quite so well, then it can feel like a bit of an uphill battle for the first short while, whilst you build some momentum. But by putting some effort in there, it really does pay dividends.
Yeah, it really does in Facebook groups. And I've had horrendous experience in Facebook groups, and I've had real great successes in Facebook groups. So I feel quite passionately about it at this point, like what you can put in place to A, make a Facebook group feel really alive and dynamic and engaging, but also safe for people. Mm. Because we had, oh, we had such a disaster at Tree Sisters. I think it's good to share the disasters, because then they go, oh yeah, it's not just me. But we had a group at Tree Sisters, which was, it was created by someone and there wasn't a clear vision. It was just like, oh, you know, we should have a Facebook group. Yeah, cool. That sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. And we called it the Talking Tree. And I don't know why. Again, there was no real thinking behind that name. And what happened...
A bit Lord of the Rings-esque,
then. Yeah, yeah, a bit Entish. The Ents. If it had been Ents, it would have been great. We didn't attract Ents. We attracted pretty quickly thousands of people. And they didn't know why they were there in that group. They just liked trees. That was it. So that was the shed. And there wasn't a clear set of guidelines. And that meant that things got confusing really quickly. And cyber aggression, as is so wont to do, just escalated really quickly. So that when it came round to the US election, and we were running a Tree Sisters campaign, we were talking about the campaign in the group and people were saying, oh, I'm just here because I like trees. What do you mean, Tree Sisters? Why are you trying to get me to donate to something? And then on the other side, there were people going, Hillary, Trump, Hillary, Trump. And it just became this really a war zone inside this group. And we had, I think, 20 volunteers who were all helping out in this group. And at a certain point, I just had to pull the plug and say, there is so much time going into the moderation of this group. I'm not sure that it's achieving our goals. In fact, I know it's not achieving our goals and our aims. And it's time to shut it down. And then we realized that you couldn't shut down a Facebook group because it takes a very long time. I'm not sure if you've ever tried it, Pete, but you have to remove each person one by one.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't tried
it. Yeah, don't try it. So we decided to hand the group over to the community, which we have done. And it's actually, you know, it's living its own life now. It's nothing to do with Tree Sisters. But I learned so much from that experience. And it was harrowing. You know, I had to do loads of getting the volunteers. Like, they were all burnt out on it. And we had to, like, reinvigorate the volunteers and get everyone back in, you know, in alignment with what we were doing. But I really learned that when you start a Facebook group, one of the best ways to get great engagement that actually helps you to achieve your aims is to have really spend the time thinking about the vision of the group. Like, what is it for? What kind of interaction do we want to be having here? What are the results we're looking for? Who do we want to be part of it? And then when people, instead of people being able to join whenever they want to, they have to ask for permission to join. And then there's a set of questions now that you can ask people to just ensure that they're in the right place. And then really welcoming them warmly, like you did the other day in your group. Thank you, Pete. That's great.
Pleasure, anytime.
Welcoming them and really creating a culture where everyone comes in and introduces themselves so that there's really meaningful interaction. And what I've learned most of all is the best Facebook groups are the ones that are connected to a time-bound experience. So whether it's some kind of course or training or program, it seems much easier to create a lot of engagement in a group when it has a set amount of time that people are. But people are really focused on it because that means the engagement is up right from the beginning.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can completely relate to that. The Facebook groups were a sort of revelation to me about, I don't know, two or three years ago. Mm. And up until that point, I'd sort of seen these groups on my feed as you scroll up and down, and you kind of think that they're all for, I don't know, some really geeky sort of, I don't know, organizations or anoraks wanting to talk about particular models of electric train set engine or whatever it might be. I'm going to end up offending somebody if I keep on going, so I'll stop. I was invited into a group through a podcast of a friend of mine, and it really was it just kind of opened my eyes a little bit, and really the engagement made sense, and the content made sense, and the fact that you knew that it was safe so you could share things that you maybe wouldn't necessarily share, all of a sudden the barriers started to come down a little bit, and it really made such a big difference to the experience of Facebook, I suppose. And I've also been part of a group from a personal training thing, just a local guy here in Sheffield. And I was part of his, he ran like a 6-week course, and we had a Facebook group, and he'd share menus and he'd share exercises for the day. And we all had to post our measurements every Sunday morning and this, that, and the other. And you think you're taking like a picture of yourself and you're thinking, dear God, there's no way I'd post this anywhere. Yet here I am putting it in a Facebook group with these blokes that I don't know. It does just break down those walls. It's kind of brought, as I say, a new lease of life to Facebook almost.
Yeah. Coming back to Brené Brown, who's my favorite at the moment, she's done research about vulnerability, but she's also done research about belonging, which I think is incredibly relevant for anyone working in marketing, because if we're able to help invite people into a sense of real belonging, then we've created an incredible amount of trust. Mm. And trust is what can lead to brilliant, you know, lifelong relationships sometimes. And I think in Facebook groups, you can create that sense of belonging with strangers in a way that doesn't really happen in many other spaces, many other online spaces. So like you say, you end up sharing things that you might not say to your family or closest friends, but because you're with these strangers and you're all having a shared experience, you can feel welcome to do that. And in Brené Brown's latest book, she talks about how the people who feel the most sense of belonging in life are the ones who regularly, she calls it, hold hands with strangers. So whether that's like being at a football match and you have a shared experience of like, yeah, my team won, or going to church and being with your community there. I think in a similar way, if it's done really well, a Facebook group can create that sense of holding hands with strangers, which creates a real sense of belonging. And then if you've been able to create that, you've added so much value to your audience's life, and they're likely to really stick with you with whatever you want to offer them in the future.
You know, you're dead right. And I've run marketing campaigns for light bulbs, and I've run marketing campaigns for Velux windows, and I've run marketing campaigns for locks that get built into walls. And I tell you what, the best campaigns do not start with the products.
Yeah.
Because all of those would be as dull as dishwater if you started, hey, look at my light bulb. Look at my light bulb. Look at my light bulb. they just don't work. But if you can find that thread, you can find that, and you can find those touch points in different scenarios. Some of the best, this is going off on a tangent a little bit, but some of the best flights I've been on, not in terms of a flight getting you from A to B, but in terms of the communal experience of a flight, has been when something has gone wrong. Yeah. And as a group of passengers stuck on this metal sausage, you all of a sudden break down those walls and start talking to each other. And you know what? By the time you get to the other end, and you may be 6 hours late and you may be hot and tired and whatever, but actually you've had a really good time getting there. Rather than just sitting on your own, putting your headphones in and watching a film for 4 hours and arriving on time. So it's kind of the same sort of mentality, I suppose, with the Facebook group side of things. But
yeah. And that also points to why it's so important to share your mistakes on Facebook. And that's part of the vulnerability thing. Like, everyone loves to be invited into a debacle. You know, I mean, you unfortunately had your office broken into, and then you shared it in the group, and then there was this sense of, oh, Pete, and we all rallied around you, and we all came together. It was good.
I know. Tuesday wasn't a good day.
Yeah.
Tuesday. I've had far better Tuesdays, I must admit. But yeah, but you're right. I didn't go and put that on my personal profile. I didn't go and put it in the group for any form of sympathy or anything else. It was just that it was a safe place to put it.
Yeah.
So hey ho, the great Milhouse's robbery of 2018 will go down in history in our group. So. So you've spoken really eloquently about what it is you're doing and how you're doing it, and you've added a whole load of value to us and what we can do, you know, to start to approach things on Facebook, which is great. But just to put a bit of meat on these bones, now I don't want you've obviously mentioned Tree Sisters, or we've both mentioned Tree Sisters a couple of times before, but I think there needs to be a we should really put a little bit of meat on those bones, because you did achieve something pretty incredible with what you set out to do and how you not only achieved it but absolutely smashed it, and on a budget of, well, next to nothing, a very modest budget. And, you know, you did that through your communications work and through Facebook, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. I think the real surge happened probably 3 years ago when we did a crowdfunding campaign. And I am mad about crowdfunding. I think everyone should do a crowdfunding campaign in their life, even if it is for light bulbs. Like, I think crowdfunding can galvanize an audience more than anything else I've ever seen. So I was literally begging Teresa to do a crowdfunding campaign, because I'd done, I think, three for the film projects that I was working on, and seen how they not only raise money, which is great, they raise massive amounts of awareness, they build a really engaged following, and they, I think most importantly, keep the team really, really engaged and committed to the project, because then there's, you know, an audience of people who are all invested, and you really want to take care of them. So I begged us to do a crowdfunding campaign, and we did one. And it was a really successful campaign. We were aiming for $88,000, this is dollars, to build our new website. And, you know, it's hair-raising stuff. It was 24 hours to go and we only had 65,000. And we were going, whoa, oh my God, what's going to happen? And incredibly, in the last 12 hours, all this money came in. A complete stranger donated 7,000. It just kept pouring in until, like, boom, we smashed through. And then eventually we reached $100,000. And most of the promotion for that campaign happened on Facebook. We did have a mailing list of perhaps 6,000 or 7,000 at that point, but most of it came through our Facebook audience, which I think we started off at about 75,000, and by the end of the campaign we were 100,000 followers. And we really invited them into the heart of this campaign with us. We did daily updates showing the number of how many of the backers we'd come to and what the tally was, and with every single post we always reiterated the vision and the mission, what we were doing. And I think that's something that, you know, every marketer knows, is the more ways that you can express the same passionate vision, the better. So we always pointed to, you know, we're planting trees, and those trees are creating habitat for animals, they're supporting climate, they're supporting the mitigation of climate change, you know, would go into real detail. And a crowdfunding campaign means that you've got lots of news, which is always good on social media. You know, it's like every day there's some really interesting news. We also had a Facebook event, which was very popular. At that point on Facebook, you could have events that lasted for multiple weeks. You can't anymore, but you can have ones that last for a couple of days, or you can have multiple events, which you could also use for a crowdfunding campaign. And I think we probably had 20,000 people invited to that event, which is really great, because then whenever you post in the event, those 20,000 people get a notification, which they don't necessarily, obviously, if you just post on your page. So we had tremendous success with that. And then that campaign allowed us to build our new website, which was beautiful, and rebrand, and then launch our following on campaign, where we went from, I can't remember how many we were at the beginning, but we reached 1 million trees a year. And then that's when Tree Sisters really exploded, because then everyone went, wow, this is real. You know, that kind of figure means that this is real.
I love the fact that it only exploded when it got to 1 million trees. I mean, from somebody that's probably, well, certainly not as educated as you are in this department, 1 million trees sounds like you've exploded already, Sophie.
Thanks.
But you were saying, I mean, you're now up to something ridiculous like 3 million trees or something, you know. I know you've left that work, well, not that long ago, but you they're up to incredible numbers of trees.
Yeah. I mean, I'll always be in the Tree Sisters family, and what I'm doing now is tithing 10% of everything I earn to Tree Sisters, so I can keep the flow going that way. It feels really important to me. But yes, it's 3 million now.
Wow. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's a lot of digging.
Yeah.
No, that's incredible. That really is incredible. So congratulations on doing that. And I think from a marketing side of things, you know, I don't think that enough people get a pat on the back when they not only achieve goals but smash them like that. So here's a virtual pat on the back where you can have a real one when you come around.
Oh, I'm enjoying that. Thank you.
So that, I mean, everything you've said so far has been amazing, really. And you've covered a whole load of stuff. So what's kind of next? Have you got any other irons in the fire, or are you focusing on this? Are you planning on growing your course? What's the next plan for Sophie?
Yeah, I mean, I've got lots of ideas. What I'm loving at the moment is working with people who you've got their businesses going, but they really want to take it to the next level. And that's where we can play with all the different fun games on Facebook, where you build an audience and then you take that audience into an experience, which then invites them into working with you. So that's where my passion is really at. You know, Facebook is brilliant for raising awareness, you know, taking people from unaware of what you do to aware of what you do, to interested in what you do, to desiring, you know, to take action with you. And then it usually takes something else to get people to actually take action, to buy the product or to invest in a service. And that's where my passion is, really creating online events, you know, free webinars or interview series or different projects that give people a really immersive experience with you that then inspires them to work with you. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. And I can feel that there might be another course in there that's brewing. But yeah, really, I'm enjoying working one-to-one at the moment.
That's great. That's great. And you're doing that solely on Facebook? Are you looking at any other kind of funnel type tactics to support that?
Yeah, I mean, I love Facebook because it's what I know, and I feel like I can add real value there. But it's taking the Facebook audience into funnel experiences and webinar experiences, and using other platforms too, Instagram and Twitter, and really bringing general timeless marketing principles in through those different portals. Like, what I feel most passionate about is the world doesn't really need more consultants, more people doing things that they're not really that interested in. I think what the world needs is people who are feeling a lot of passion and connected to a real sense of meaning in what they're doing, because then they're going to be 100% committed to it, and then they can make real change. So I'm all about supporting people to be doing what they love, and then really talking, daring to be totally un-British and actually channeling some of my experience from living in the United States, where people are much more willing to, you know, shout from the rooftops about what they do, and really giving people the confidence to dare to be real and vulnerable and passionate about what they do.
Kim Doyle did a great episode with us a few episodes ago. And she runs a course called Everything is Content.
Yeah.
And she's brilliant. And in that podcast, she mentioned, what was the words? I don't want to get it wrong. It was working on the principle that nothing is new under the sun. But the only differentiating factor you have is you.
Yeah.
And looking at the world, we all have our own unique perspective on the world. We all have our own unique way of putting things, our own take on things, and applying that to yourself, to your business, to your goals, but also to the messaging and the way that you communicate with people, be them an audience that you're building for a particular purpose or just the way you communicate with your friends. It sets you apart, and it has repercussions through, particularly on social media, as you know, you then appear in the feeds of second or third level connections, and the influence that you can have on those connections as well is, you know, the only differentiating factor you have is you in those scenarios as well.
Yeah, I'm doing some training with someone at the moment, and she said something that was really heartening to me. Whenever I think, like, does the world really need another marketing consultant, she says, well, look, imagine if your favorite Italian restaurant had gone, you know, there's loads of Italian restaurants, so I don't think we need another one. Or if your favorite hairdresser said, oh, there's loads of hairdressers in Sheffield, I won't open a hair salon. It would be a real shame, because then you wouldn't get to experience like Mamma Mia's pizza or whatever it's doing. And yeah, like you said, there's only one of each of us, and why not be most fully ourselves? It'd be a much more interesting world.
Now you're making me hungry. That's brilliant. So just before we go, I'm aware of taking up far too much of your time already, but before we go, if people would like to connect with you more, you're in the Marketing Development Podcast group, which if you want to join is peteeverett.com/group. And but how else could people get in touch with you should they wish?
Yeah, I'm the ultimate marketing disaster because I don't have a website at the moment.
You hear them.
It's quite exciting. It's quite freeing.
Do you know anybody that builds them?
I'll be calling on you. So yeah, you could email me, old school.
Email old school, absolutely. Yeah. Next you begin at your post. Don't do that. But next you begin at your postal address. Contact Sophie at PO Box 101. Sorry, go on. You're just about to give out your email address.
SophieJaneMortimer@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'll put that in some form of spam friendly way. I don't mean that in that you'll receive a lot of spam. I mean that in that it won't generate spam to your email address. I'll figure out how to do
yes,
it
please.
In the show notes so that people people can copy and paste it from somewhere. So yeah, that's great. Well, look, really thanks for your time, and we wish you all the best with the courses and the consultancy and that kind of thing. And please do share your journey and your resources as you create them through the Marketing Development Podcast group as well. Because I know I certainly want to be notified of where they are and what they are and all that kind of stuff. So feel free to share them in the group too.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pete. And thank you so much for creating this water cooler moment for us. It's really meaningful. I can't wait to listen to the other episodes. Double figures, hey, you know, baby.
Double figures. We're there. We've hit it. You are number 10.
Yes.
Cheers, Sophie. See you soon.
Okay, take care.
So there you have it, episode 10 in the can. As Sophie mentioned, she is in our Facebook group, which you can find at peteeverett.com/group. Alternatively, just search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast and you'll find us in there. We look forward to seeing you next Monday for episode 11.